The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice! Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep her house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." The Gospel of the Lord.
I really enjoy the 10 o'clock service here that is done in a very different way than most Episcopal churches. But, you know, you've heard me grumble for this month that there is that one prayer you leave out, the collect of the day. And a lot of them are really old and they even predate the Reformation. But they were carefully chosen back in Reformation days as to what was going to go in the book. And the one for today is kind of enlightening when you really look at what it's saying. "Oh God, because without you we are not able to please you, mercifully grant that your Holy Spirit may in all things direct and rule our hearts." Now you notice in there what's so key. It's where it says that your Holy Spirit may direct us. It doesn't say Holy Scriptures. It says Holy Spirit. Why is that significant? Well, for a lot of reasons. When I was growing up, as I've mentioned to you, I experienced a whole lot of churches. I started out in a mainline church. That was what I was baptized in, but then I kind of wandered off, and I spent time in evangelical groups, charismatic groups, Pentecostal groups, the Roman Catholic Church, until I finally ended up in the Episcopal Church. And one of the reasons why I ended up staying when I got there is the way that we read the Bible. I love the Bible. I really do. Now, if I looked at the Bible as a rule book, I probably wouldn't love it. I mean, how many people love a rule book? Although I did get corrected after 8 o'clock, and that some people really do love, in 12-step groups, love a certain rule book. And I can get that. But the Bible itself is so much deeper, so much richer than a rule book. One of the things that I used to hear over and over again when I was traveling among churches on the more conservative end was that they would say, God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And when I became Episcopalian, man, they really loved to throw that one at me because they accused us of just going along with the culture. But God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And the Bible is literally true in every word that's there. That's kind of interesting then when you look at our Old Testament reading today that ended with this. And the Lord changed his mind about the disaster that he planned to bring on his people. Hello? I don't know that God actually changed his mind, but what we see in the scriptures, when we put them into context, is that we're always moving towards the same goal. We're always headed towards love. And that does change, not because God changed, but we change. Our understandings change. We grow as people, which is what we're called to do. So many people keep trying to call us back to, we need to get back to how it used to be. Well, you know, Jesus didn't have a good thing to say about his culture. He was challenging it constantly. So why would we want to go back to a culture that Jesus was challenging? We're being called to move forward. And we do that by seeking God, by seeking for God. That was even how we started out our psalm today. Delightful verse there. The Lord looks down from heaven upon us all to see if there is any who is wise, if there is one who seeks after God. Where do we seek after God? Where do we find God? Well, people send me all these memes, is that how you pronounce it, on Facebook? And they know that I've spent many, many years working with Native American people. So I get a lot of those sent to me. And one I got a couple days ago had this list of side-by-side. It was a plea for tolerance and getting along, which was good. I liked the goal. I just was really uncomfortable with the way they got there. Because it said, you Christians believe this, we Natives believe this. And it had things like, you find God in the Bible, we find God in creation. Well, yes and no. Natives don't just find God in creation. There are stories that are passed down, wonderful stories, that are gifts from generation to generation. And we don't find God just in the scriptures. We have many saints we celebrate, a whole branch of Christianity called creation spirituality, where we find God in creation all around us. Not to replace the Bible, but as a supplement. God is speaking to us. Have you ever gotten up early and seen a gorgeous sunrise and just felt God in your heart? That's God still talking to us through creation. So where we find God is what matters, is that we find God everywhere. And what really matters is who is that God that we look for. What we're looking for is a God of love. And that love challenges us, calls us into new places and new adventures. One of the things that I love about the Episcopal Church is that Charles Darwin, you know him from evolution? He's buried in an Anglican church courtyard. I think that's pretty wonderful. We've never looked at science as the enemy. Science reveals more to us about that creation. And we learn from that. As we learn from creation, as well as from the scripture, we then move forward in our understanding of who God is. We seek God. We seek love. Let me give you a concrete example to make it a little easier. Obviously, for me, as a gay priest, I've been hit all a lot by Bible verses that are used as weapons thrown at me. And people come to me even now and say, you know, Eric, these people are saying these verses, and I need some verses to use back to them. And my point, you know, I'm taken aback to say, it's not about using verses as weapons. That's not it. It doesn't work that way. What we're looking for is, how do we bring love to this situation? And how are we inspired to bring love to this situation by those very stories from the Bible used in whole? In the Bible, it does say an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And boy, whenever there's a discussion about the death penalty, you know, people love to drag out that verse. Funny thing is, they never drag out the verse from the gospel that says, where Jesus says, you've heard an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But now I tell you, if someone hits you on one cheek, turn the other. What was going on was that it was an honor-shame society. It's a different culture than what we are now. So that if somebody took one of your sheep, you had to take two of theirs to save face. And then they had to take two of yours and one of your goats. And then you had to take two of theirs and one of their goats and three of their kids. And, you know, it would just escalate and escalate. So at that time, it was a movement towards love to say if somebody takes one of your sheep, you take one of theirs and it's over. That's moving towards love. Then Jesus said, okay, you've lived with that for hundreds of years. You've learned that lesson. Now let's go the next step towards love. If somebody hits you on one cheek, turn the other. We're still moving in the same place. In that sense, God is the same. And yet God has changed because our understanding of who God is and what God wants has changed. We've grown. It's the same way with accepting gay and lesbian people. We can try to go back to a culture that didn't acknowledge them, a science that didn't understand, a world that didn't see that many of the different creatures in creation have gay and lesbian aspects to them. But we've learned. That would be going backwards. We're called to move boldly forward toward love. That's our challenge. That's our purpose. To seek after God, guided by God's Holy Spirit. Where do we find love in any situation? It will be unique to you, some of those situations. Somebody in your family or your close friends who struggles with addiction. What do I do? Well, you don't pull out verses and condemn them and saying, well, you shouldn't do this. You walk with them and figure out what's the loving thing to do. And it won't always be the same. Sometimes love is just accepting and accepting. Other times love is tough love, you know? And you got to figure that out. But the promise that we had in that wonderful collect for the day is that we don't do that alone. We have resources in creation, and in the scriptures, in church history, but most of all, we have the living Holy Spirit that will be there with us in our struggles. That's the beauty of our walk. That's the beauty of the Bible. It's a gift to us to see how other people who were inspired to seek for love in their time and in their context lived that out. And it doesn't mean that their answers are still what we need today. It means that their struggle is still what we need today, so that we can be inspired by it to do our own struggling and find God. This morning in our gospel reading, boy, did it hit home to me. I was laughing in the car on the way here. That wonderful woman who loses a coin and, you know, she tears apart the house. You can imagine what the house must have looked like by the time she was done. And the reason I could picture it so clearly is that I got to be here early for the 8 o'clock service, so I get everything ready the night before, but I assumed my pants were hanging in the closet. And they weren't. Man, when I get home, I got so much cleaning to do. Throwing things everywhere. They were in the wash. But boy, I was just laughing, thinking about her. But that's the kind of seeking that you and I are called to do for what's lost, and sometimes what gets lost is God. We put God in a box from 2,000 years ago. We lock God away so that God is made small and tight and following a bunch of rules. And we make it so small that we lose God altogether. To find God, we have to be willing to tear apart our boxes like she tore apart her house and like I tore apart my house, to find what's really missing. Where's the love? Where is it? That's an active job that each one of us is given to do. Well, I've been trying while I've been here this month to expose you to different parts of the Bible, like the Apocrypha stuff and Paul's letters last week. But there's also some real beautiful wonders in this prayer book. And I'd like to end this with one of those prayers. Oh God, you made us in your own image and redeemed us through Jesus, your Son. Look with compassion on the whole human family. Take away the arrogance and hatred which infect our hearts. Break down the walls that separate us. Unite us in bonds of love and work through our struggle and confusion to accomplish your purposes on earth, that in your good time, all nations and races may serve you in harmony around your heavenly throne.